Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're just entering the home stretch. It's just another maybe 15, 20 minutes, inshallah. Again, I'm just going to recommend that, you know, if you really want to listen to this carefully and go through it properly, go to the Sacred Learning website and just download the lectures. These lectures, I mean, I'm giving you like, we spent 10 days, morning and night, doing these lectures during Ramadan. And now you're just getting basically a quick glimpse of this. But also, don't forget that I will go over these points, or whoever is your group scholar will go over those points with you as you go through the process. So you don't need to worry about it too much. But I would just recommend that you go to the website to get the full lecture. All right, so once we finish with Arafah, which is the ninth of Dhul-Hijj, the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to go to that place called Muzdalifah, right? So if you go back to the map, Muzdalifah is this place sort of in between Mina and Arafah. So we're going to come back to Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah, what's going to happen there is that we're going to pray, in Arafah we're going to pray Maghrib, the sun is going to set. We're not going to pray Maghrib. We're going to then head towards Muzdalifah. At Muzdalifah, what happens is the following sequence. We'll wait for the time of Isha to begin, and then we'll perform the prayers as follows. We'll call the Adhan, we'll call the Iqama, we'll pray the Fard of Maghrib, we'll then pray the Fard of Isha with no additional Iqama, then we'll pray the Sunnahs of Maghrib and the Sunnah of Isha, and then Witr. So we'll make one Adhan, one Iqama, pray Maghrib, pray Isha, pray the Sunnah of Maghrib, and pray Sunnahs of Isha and Witr. You're going to do this whether you're praying in a group or if you're praying alone. And then we're going to do one, so that's going to be the end of our prayers there. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to spend the night at Muzdalifah. Now, this is the hardest part of the journey, as far as I'm concerned, because there's no tents, there's no electricity, you're just sort of like sleeping out on a dirt road, basically. Actually, it's not even that comfortable. It's all rocky and there's mountains and, so this is, to me, this is the most difficult part of the journey. What we're going to do here is a couple of things. Number one, we're going to collect pebbles. This is where you load up in order to pelt Shaitan. So you're going to collect 71 pebbles. We're going to be staying till the 13th. Everyone will collect 71 pebbles. It's sunnah to collect your pebbles at Muzdalifah for throwing at the Jamarat. Then we'll spend the rest of the night in worship. As much as possible, if you want to rest, you can rest, but I'll tell you, it's not an easy place to rest. There's buses driving by, there's all this honking, there's people coming and going. It's a very difficult place to get much rest at all. But you'll have your sleeping bag with you. If you want to get rest, you can try. We'll remain in Muzdalifah all the way until dawn. Once the dawn comes up, we'll pray Fajr at the beginning of its time, and then we'll stay in Muzdalifah for the wukuf of Muzdalifah all the way until the sunrise. Once the sun rises, so this refers to the wukuf of Muzdalifah. We'll basically spend that time from Fajr prayer until sunrise making dhikr, reciting the talbiyah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, etc. And then right before sunrise, we'll leave for Mina. The reality is we'll probably end up leaving much after sunrise because there's just too much crowding and buses are slow, etc. But you'll basically wait for the bus and we'll go to Mina. Now, when you go to Mina, which is now you're talking about, you're on the 10th day. The 10th day is the most busy day. 10th day is really busy. You have to do a bunch of things. You have to pelt Shaitan. You have to sacrifice an animal. You have to shave your head. And then you have to perform tawaf ziyara. 1, 2, and 3. Pelting the Shaitan, sacrificing the animal, and doing halak or qasr, which is shaving or trimming the head. They have to be done in order. Number 4 can be done at any place in this sequence. So what's going to happen first is that we're going to go and pelt Shaitan. Basically, this is called Rami. Rami refers to throwing stones at three pillars, which represent spots where Shaitan arose as the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was headed to sacrifice his son. All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to take 7 stones on this day, which is the 10th day, and you will go to the large Shaitan, which is one of the Jamarat, which the only way you're going to recognize it is that it's the one furthest from the masjid. You'll see the masjid there. You'll see everybody around that Shaitan, so it'll be obvious to you. You'll basically go there, and you'll pelt 7 stones at the Shaitan. Now, when we say 7 stones, this is basically what these pillars look like, or at least they used to look like. They're currently in the process of remaking them. This is like a big, you can see the crowd of people. You can see this pillar over here. And you can see this area here. All you have to do is get your stone in this rim in order for it to count. You don't have to hit the wall. The stone has to land any place in this circle. So no matter where you're located, your stone has to land here. And on the first day, we're only going to pelt the large chepon, not the middle one, not the small one. So we're only going to pelt the large chepon. So what you're going to do is you're going to stand facing the chepon, the pillar marking the chepon, and then you're going to throw the pebbles one at a time. Now, the sunnah is to hold the pebble in your right hand between your index finger and your thumb. Okay? And then you're going to pelt. One, two, three. And with each throw, you're going to recite Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. And some other dua is, Raghman lishaytani wa ridan lirrahmani. You know, a pushing away of shaitan and a means of pleasing Allah, the Rahman. Now, once you throw the first pebble at that shaitan, the talbiyah is over. This whole labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la shirik, you read it the whole time through, except the waf and sa'i for the umrah, then no more talbiyah. It's all done. Remember that the pebble has to land in this area. If you don't land in this area, you missed. It doesn't count. So you gotta get 7 pebbles in this area here. Alright? The pebbles have to be independent. You can't take all 7 and throw them at one time. It's one at a time. 4 of the 7 have to land in that area for the rami to count. Otherwise, you're all dumb. If it's less than 7, let's say 5 land or 6 land, you get a penalty, but not a dumb. So you have to pay some sadaqah. I would recommend just taking 9 stones with me. Alright? So that if you miss a couple, you'll get at least 7 in. Once you finish the pelting, you do not make dua. So whenever this large chepon is pelted, after pelting the large chepon, we never make dua. Okay, now, as far as getting to the rami is concerned, anybody who can get there must pelt. So you cannot send someone to do it for you. If you can get there, you have to pelt. What we mean by getting there is if you cannot get to the jamarat because you can't walk there, or if there's extreme illness, then and only then can you assign a proxy. Crowding is not an excuse for a proxy. Now this pelting actually has to be done in a particular time period, which is from the dawn of the 10th day to the dawn of the 11th day. So you have a 24-hour window in which you have to knock these 7 stones into this pillar. Now, these time periods are divided. For example, from dawn to sunrise is makruh. From sunrise to zawal is sunnah. And this is the most crowded time. This is the time when people get run over, trampled, killed. This is the time we're definitely not going to go, even though it's sunnah. From zawal to sunset is mubah, which means neutral, and from sunset to dawn is makruh. So I will tell you right now that we will all be together. Whether you're in the deluxe package, express package, if you're in the Hilal group, we will all be in the same tents together. All the packages will be together at this point. So we will probably make 2 groups. One group who wants to go right before sunset, which is a mubah time, and one group that will go after sunset, which personally I will be going after sunset because it's just the safest and the easiest time to do it. Otherwise, it's too difficult. You can't even get the stones in the right area. So anyway, we'll talk about that when we're in the tents and when we're making our plans together, but you'll have 2 options. Anybody who's elderly, we will take account of that. We will go late if we have to go late. It's not a big deal. But the key thing is that the whole group get it done. So that's going to be our emphasis. All right, so I've talked about the stoning. Once the stoning is done, the next thing we're going to do is offer the sacrifice. We are not going to sacrifice the animals ourselves. The group leader, the group organizer will have those animals sacrificed for us. This is called dam shukr, or the sacrifice is done for thankfulness. This is wajib if you're performing hajj qiran or tamattu, which basically everybody in this room is doing. So we all have to offer this sacrifice. And this is the $150 sacrifice that we mentioned earlier. This is not the qurbani of Eid. The qurbani of Eid is a separate thing which every individual who's an adult and is sane and has money must do. We will not do the qurbani of Eid because we will be travelers, and travelers do not have to do the qurbani of Eid. This sacrifice that we're doing is called dam shukr, and is done as a means of thanking Allah for allowing us to do the hajj and the umrah together. Alright, the animal has certain legal requirements. It doesn't really concern us because the group leaders, organizers will be taking care of it. It's best to slaughter it with your own hand, but it's probably not going to be possible. If you want to watch it, that might be possible. You can talk to us and we can try to arrange from that. The meat basically is taken, frozen, and sent to the poor countries. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was sunnah to divide it into 1/3, 1/3, 1/3, which is 1/3 for sadaqah, 1/3 for friends, and 1/3 for oneself. But in this case, it's probably, we're not going to get the meat. It'll be frozen and sent off. All right. The animal can be sacrificed any time after the Rami, meaning the pelting of the big Shaitan until the sunset of the 12th. And we will try to get it done as soon as possible, as soon as conveniently possible. Your hair cannot be cut until you sacrifice. So you've got to do the Rami, then sacrifice, and then you're going to cut your hair. And we will alert you. We will be told, we will get a phone call on the cell phone saying, our sacrifices are complete, cut your hair. And only then will we cut our hair. All right, once it comes to cutting the hair, you have two options. For a male, you can shave. For a female, you have to trim. If a male chooses to trim or a female chooses to trim, you have to cut 1 inch of hair, 1 inch of hair over the entire head. So what'll happen is a female will divide her hair into thirds, cut from the right, left, and back. A male will cut over the entire head 1/4 of an inch. If you don't have an inch, which is what you have to cut, then you have to shave. So you have to have at least an inch of hair if you're going to shorten. The hair should be cut while facing the Qibla. Try to begin from the right side. You can shave other people's heads if you want, but I wouldn't do it if you don't have experience. There are people who walk around and they do this for a small fee, and I think that's the easiest. Now, once you get your hair shaved or your hair trimmed, you are out of ihram, so the clothing comes off. But the one restriction that remains is the romance restriction. So no marital relations, no romance, no speech, no etc., until you perform the tawaf. So that's the one restriction that remains, okay? And I will make this very clear in the tense as well. Once you get out of ihram, you can put regular clothing on, cover your head, put on scent. The only thing is no relations between man and wife, husband and wife. Okay, then what you're going to do is return to Mecca. And when you return to Mecca, you're going to perform tawaf. Now, this part of the trip is a little bit tough because getting to Mecca is not easy. There's a crowd of people and the buses are all trying to go. So most of us will walk. For those people who need help, we will try to arrange transport as a group. But for the most part, it's faster to walk and it's more convenient to walk. So as a group, we will probably walk. All right. Then we will perform, once we get to Mecca, the purpose of getting to Mecca Mukarramah is to perform Tawaf Ziyarah. Tawaf Ziyarah is the final rite of the Hajj. Well, actually, it's not the final rite. It's a final rite to take you out of all the ihram restrictions. So what will happen is that we will perform the Tawaf in the same way that we talked about performing Tawaf earlier. So you'll go, you'll find the black stone, you'll stand a little bit before the black stone, make your niyyah, move closer, get in line with the black stone, turn your chest to the black stone, say Bismillahi Allahu Akbar wa Lillahi Alhamd, put your hand towards the black stone, kiss your hand, begin to make the seven circuits, the exact same way that you performed the Tawaf for Umrah. Then you're going to do the same thing. You're going to go to Zamzam, you're going to go to Multazam, you're going to come back, do another Istinam, and then finally you're going to go perform Sa'i, which is also part of Tawaf Ziyarah. You go back and forth seven times, the same way I described in Umrah, and then basically, the four major deeds that we discussed are all done. Okay? So now you're totally free of all the ihram restrictions. Now the next thing then we're going to do is go back. We have no hotel room. We live in tents at this point, okay? So we're going to go back to Mina and we're going to stay in the tents. We'll be there for a few days. The only thing that we have to do on the next day is the 11th day and the 12th day and the 13th day is to pelt the shaitans. So it's going to be the same thing every day. The rest of the day will be free. So it's wajib to pelt all the shaitans on the 11th. What will happen is we'll take seven pebbles, we'll throw it at the small one, we'll then back away from the small one and make dua. We'll take seven pebbles, throw it at the middle one, back away from the middle one, make dua. We'll take seven pebbles, throw it at the big shaitan, back away from the middle shaitan, no dua. There's never dua after pelting the big shaitan. General principle of Hajj. All right. So this will be on the 11th. The window is zawal of the 11th to the dawn of the 12th. It's sunnah to do it from zawal to sunset. We're going to do it at the safest time. Okay? That's basically going to be the best time for us. So we will determine what's the safest time, and then we'll perform the rami or the pelting at that time. It's the same story. We pick two pebbles. We take the pebble between the index finger and the thumb of the right hand. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, throw the stone. In the circle. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, throw the stone. Etc. And so I've already talked about that, the details of that. Then the next day will come. The next day we do the same thing. We're going to go back and pelt all three shayateen in the same way that we pelted them the day before. Now, once you've pelted on the 12th, you have two choices. But in our group, we have one choice. Technically, you have a choice of completing the Hajj and going back to Mecca, or we can stay for the 13th and do one more set of pelting. And both groups will be staying for the 13th and doing one more set of pelting. So we'll stay to the 13th, which is really the sixth day of the Hajj, and then we will go early, we will pelt, and then we will be done with our rites of Hajj, and then we'll go back to Mecca, and we'll spend our time in Mecca. When you're in Mecca, there are many different things you can do. A couple of things to recommend is that take it easy on the umrahs, especially before the Hajj, but once the Hajj is done, you can do extra umrahs. The way you're going to do extra umrahs is that you're going to have to leave the border of the Haram. So you'll go to a place called Masjid Aisha. Masjid Aisha is outside of the border of the Haram. You'll put on your ihram, and you'll come back in, and then you'll perform the umrahs. Remember, the other thing is that you can perform a lot of different types of ibadah when you're in Mecca Mukarramah. But one of the best ibadahs is tawaf. You can perform salah in any other place. You can recite Quran in any other place. You can make dhikr in any other place. You cannot perform tawaf except in Mecca Mukarramah. So one of the best nafila ibadat to do in the Mecca is to perform tawaf. Alright, so I basically explained the details of the return to Mecca. These are what you're going to do with your spare time afterwards. The last thing that you have to do for the Hajj is called tawaf wida. Tawaf wida is like your farewell tawaf. This is wajib for all types of Hajj. It's performed any time after tawaf ziyarah. So you're going to make tawaf ziyarah, and if you want to right away perform tawaf wida, you can. But basically what this refers to is the tawaf that's done as a farewell to Mecca. So what you'll do is it's sort of like the last act before you leave, you'll go to the masjid, and then you'll perform this tawaf as a farewell to Mecca, but it's wajib. If you miss it, you will go down. Alright? So keep that in mind, and this is called tawaf wida. And that's the end. Alright, so there's a whole nother lecture on what you do in Medina Munawwara. That's on the website. So you can just go there. It explains how to greet the Prophet, how the graves are situated. There's another lecture there called The Pillars, which refers to places you should try to pray at in the masjid of the Prophet, etc. But again, I will tell you all these things there. In Medina, we have lectures in Medina. You know, we have like an hour reserved every day to have lectures. And in those lectures, I will tell you, this is what the graves look like. I will bring pictures with me. I won't have the computer. I will tell you, this is how you greet the graves. This is what you're supposed to do. These are the pillars. And probably what I'll do for the males, because the males are the ones that have access to this part of the masjid, I will take a tour into the masjid, and I will point out, this is this pillar, this is this famous pillar, this is this famous pillar, and I'll tell you where you should pray and the different du'as that are suggested, okay? So, I mean, I guess the key thing, the key summary points are that, one is to be patient, right? All of this information that I presented to you, it will be available to you because you will have scholars who will be able to guide you through this process. The key thing is that you remain patient, and you remain organized. You know, when you stay with the group, stick with the group, do everything as a group, inshallah, there'll be barakah in that. All right, the last announcement that I want to make, unless there's any official announcement, is that for those people who have any special needs, if you can inform us of those special needs beforehand, that'll help a lot. I know some people are like insulin-dependent diabetic, right? If I know that, then I know that if the person's passing out on me, I just have to give them a Snickers bar and they'll be fine. If someone has asthma, severe asthma, then let us know so that we have at least one backup inhaler so that if the person gets into trouble, we know. So there's some simple things that it would be beneficial if we knew. So if you have an issue like that, please come and let the organizers know. It'll be better for the entire group, inshallah. Alright, so with that, I've got all these questions. I don't want to hold people back. I'll sit and answer these questions as long as you guys want to stay. So I'm just going to read through them. You're welcome to leave whenever you want. And if the Karbai, do you have any more questions? Any more announcements or anything? Okay, so I'm just going to read these questions and answer them.